Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
I asked the Lord, what should I do tonight? And He said, you need to do some teaching. And I asked God, why I need to teach this lesson? And God spoke to me that in the tabernacle of Moses, if you study the book of Exodus and Deuteronomy, in the tabernacle of Moses, the glory of the Lord came into the tabernacle in the midst of the children of Israel, in the form of the fire, came in with the bright light, and people all really was led by the glory of God or the thick presence of God. And then in the temple of Solomon, the glory of God came down like a cloud. We call it a cloud of glory. And then God showed me in the book of Revelation that in the end time, God gonna bring down the new heavens, the new Jerusalem, and the new earth. And in this new Jerusalem, a new city, we call it the new city of God, when we all gonna live with God forever, for eternity, God will be the light, or like a sunlight over there. There was no darkness anymore. There's no darkness, there's no shadow, there's no tear, there's no sickness and death anymore. So in the city of God that Abraham, Hebrews chapter 11, talk about Abraham was waiting for that city that was not built by the hand of man. The new city, the new Jerusalem, that city will be full of the glory of God. And the glory of God was so full of light shining in the whole city all the time. And I believe that in the end time like this, God will bring His glory back to the church. The book of Haggai say, the glory of the latter house, meaning the end time church, will be greater than the early house or the former house. So in other words, we should expect and we should believe that we are in the end time, and the glory of God gonna show up in the church even thicker and stronger than the early church. How thick the glory of God in the early church. The building was shaken. The shadow of Peter fell on people and they got healed instantly. Whenever they pray, something happened, miracle happened. No one was in lack in the early church. God just took care of everybody. When the glory of God led the children of Israel in the wilderness, the manna came down. No one was in lack. So you can see that God want to reveal His glory, and God want to bring His glory back to His church. And the full glory of God gonna be in a new city, New Jerusalem, a new city, a new heaven. How many people want to be there one day in a new city, New Jerusalem? Amen. I believe with all my heart, according to the prophecy in the Bible, we are entering into the end time, and God is bringing the glory or the thick presence of God into the house. And we as believers, as the children of Abraham, as people who know God and want all the things of God, we need to be educated and get ready and know how to respond to the glory of God. If the glory of God show up, how are we going to respond? And what kind of things going to happen to us? So that we will not be shocked, we will not be surprised, we will not scratch our head and say, what is going on here? Because we have are educated already that when the glory of God show up, what we should do? What happened to our life? What happened to our body? What happened to the congregation? And when we see it, we will not be surprised. Amen. When we look in the Bible, we can see that when the glory of the presence of God show up, God's people fall prostrate in the presence of God. It's the biblical culture that when God show up, people fall prostrate into the presence of God. The way we run the church nowadays with the chair and people sit on the chair and somebody was speaking from the pulpit. Actually, it was adopted into the church at that time in Roman Empire But this kind of thing, they adopted the way they practice the heathen god. And we still practice today in the church. We sit on the chair. But in the early church, they, and in the home, they sit on the floor and they just worship God and the presence of God come down. You know, and it's just different from what we see in the traditional church or in the way the Christian think it should be. We should be ready to meet the presence of God. Amen. And when the presence of God show up, look at what the Bible say in Genesis chapter 17 verses 1 to 3. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to the Abram. Everyone say appear. So God show up. Is that right? The glory of God show up and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. Imagine Abram was in his home or somewhere and then God show up. The presence of God comes. The glory of God come. And God spoke to him, be blameless. And God even said, I will make a covenant with you because you believe me and you walk blamelessly. And Abram responded. Abram responded by falling on his face. He fell to the ground to worship God. And the Bible says God continued to talk to him. You see, God talked with him. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to understand that in the biblical culture, it's okay to fall in the presence of God. Amen. I need to change your mindset here. Because some of us may be trained that come to church is only sitting in a chair and just sing a few songs, listen to sermon and walk out and go home. But we are not just coming to listen to sermon, but we come to seek the presence of God. We want God to show up in the meeting. And when God show up, we're willing to fall prostrate before the Lord. And we're willing to say, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Amen. Look at another scripture in Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24. And fire came out before the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat on the altar. The fire of God means the glory of God, the presence of God came at that time. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Everyone say, fell. They fell on their faces. They really worship God right away. They surrender to God right away. They really honor God. In Numbers chapter 20 verse 6, so Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord, mean the word glory in the Hebrew language is kabod. The word kabod means the thick presence of God. God show up in a tangible way that they can see or they can feel or they can sense the presence of God. The glory of the Lord appeared to them. What did they do when the glory of God appeared? They fell before God. Amen. They fell intentionally. No one pushed them. No one forced them to fall down. They just fell before the presence of God. Look at Joshua chapter 5. When God showed up in verse 14, God spoke to him, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face. You can see again and again and again, I show you in the Bible that when the glory of God showed up, people fell prostrate before the presence of God. In 1 Kings chapter 18, talking about the fire came on that mountain in the time of Elijah. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt offering, and the wood and the stones and the dust, it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, what did they do? They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Amen. You see the biblical culture here in the presence of God. Look at another one. Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 28. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. God showed up in front of Ezekiel. So when I saw it, what happened? I fell on my face. And I heard a voice once speaking. Wow. How many people want God to show up in your house? In your bedroom? Amen. You want God to show up, is that right? So you need to get ready in your heart, God. I'm willing to humble before you. I'm willing to come to you and seek you and listen to you. I remember one time I went to Malaysia and I was in the hotel. And I woke up early because of the jet lag. I couldn't sleep. I woke up early about 4 a.m. in the morning and we began to pray and seek God. And suddenly the presence of God showed up in that room. I was really shaking. The presence of God was so strong. Actually, I was praying in front of the restroom because my pastor friend was sleeping. I don't want to bother him. He was sleeping. So I have to sneak to the in front of the restroom. And then the presence of God showed up. I was on the floor and worshiped him. He was speaking to me. He was there for a long time. Was speaking to me many things. We need to be ready. Amen. I try to educate you to welcome the glory of the Lord. It's the heart condition. My dear brother, sister, I believe that the believers in the end time who are going to become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ will love the glory of God, will love the presence of God. Let me ask all the husbands in this room, do you love the presence of your spouse? Absolutely. Pastor Cesar said absolutely. He gave the right answer. Let me hear from the husband one more time. Do you like the presence of your spouse?
Amen.
Good. That's a good answer. Amen. How about the wife or the ladies in this room who already got married? Do you like the presence of your husband?
Amen.
Do you want him to disappear from home for many days? No, you want him to be around, come back home and stay with you. The same thing. True Christians, really born again Christian, Christian who really know the Lord, Christian who really love the Lord, will love the presence of God. Amen. How can you love God without loving His presence? I want God to show up in my life every day. I want Him to come to visit me in my bedroom. He come to visit me in my car. I want Him to come and show up in my life. Amen. Even during the surgery, I want God to show up at that time to help me to perform that operation. Amen. The presence of God. We love the presence of God because we love Him. We don't want just a picture on the wall. We don't just want the picture of Jesus on the wall. We want Jesus to show up. The real Jesus, the Spirit of the living God show up in our life. Amen. And I believe that now God is bringing this back to the local church when we need to be hungry and ready. Amen. Sometime when the presence of God show up, what happened? Our body started to respond to the presence of God. I haven't seen this in our church that much, but it happened in the Bible. In 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 14, when King David was filled with the presence of God, what did he do? The Bible says, then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. Amen. When the presence of God show up, when God really touch you and fill you up, you may start to get up and dance before the Lord. And I know that in certain culture is kind of very shy. You feel like shy. You don't want to dance before people. I want to tell you, if God really touch you and want you to dance, go up and dance in our church. We don't mind. Amen. We don't mind in our church if you could come up and dance because the Spirit of God touch you. As long as you dance in the Spirit, you are not dancing in the flesh. Try to show off how good my body is. No, I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about vanity. I'm talking about dancing in the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, we need to understand another terminology in the Bible. And I think this terminology is important. The early church was looking for the presence of God as well. I'm going to read certain scripture here regarding the presence of God in Acts chapter 11 verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. The Bible says the hand of the Lord was with them. Whenever the Bible used the word the hand of the Lord, mean the presence of God come and touch them and be with them. Everyone said the hand of the Lord. And you can see the result of the hand of the Lord. When the hand of the Lord is with you, great number of people will turn to the Lord. Amen. I want to encourage all of you that don't be ashamed of the presence of God. Don't be ashamed of the hand of God. Don't be ashamed of the glory of God. The Lord spoke to me so many times, so many times. I know that we are not a typical traditional church that, you know, just run the church, but we really honor the presence of God. The Lord spoke to me that if this church is not ashamed of my presence, and this church honor my presence, you will see not only personal blessing, but you're going to see corporate blessing, and you're going to see a lot of soul come into the kingdom supernaturally. But we need to speak the same spiritual language. All the care group leaders, all the leaders in the church, you need to say the same thing like the pastor say, we love the glory of God. We are not ashamed of the glory of God in this church. Go and get touched by God. Go and seek the presence of God. We are not ashamed of Him. If we speak the same language, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, talking about they tried to build the Tower of Babel. And they spoke the same language. God said, if they keep speaking the same language, no one can stop what they're doing. And we're going to keep speaking the same biblical language. We love the presence of God. We love God to show up and do something in our life. And people will never be the same. Amen? Amen. You need to practice the presence of God everywhere you go. When you teach the Bible, when you minister to people, when you talk to people. When I walk into my office, I practice the presence of God all the time. The presence of God is upon me. All the administrative assistant in my office always say, why you keep smiling? Why are you so happy? Why you keep laughing? I say, I'm happy because God is with me. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. This is not kind of makeup story. Really, I'm happy all the time because the presence of God was with me. Amen. Hallelujah. All the time. All the time. All the days of your life, practice the presence of God. Amen. You want the hand of God to be upon you. Amen. Look at what the people in the early church prayer in Acts chapter 4, verses 29 to 30. This is how they pray. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Grant to your servants, mean the church, that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus Christ. Amen. They say, stretch out your hand, mean come down the presence of God. Come down the Holy Spirit. Come and heal. Come and perform miracle. Come and touch people. The cry of the early church is to see the presence of God. The cry of the early church say, God, come, show up, do something, perform miracles. We need to cry out like that too. Amen. In the end time church, the Bible say again and again about the hand of God. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. And what happened to him? He ran faster than the horse of the king. You think the horse of the king will be the best horse in town? And this man ran ahead of the horse. Amen. So what it means when the hand of the Lord is upon you, you're going to have a supernatural strength. You will not be tired easily. Amen. You will look younger than age. Amen. Like Pastor Da. Pastor Da looked like 25 years old girl. The hands of the Lord is upon her. Shine the glory of God all the time, everywhere she goes. Look younger and a lot of strength. Amen. Sometimes people ask me, you are so full of energy. I know the hand of the Lord. I'm not tired easily. I can keep going and keep going. until I need to rest eventually. But really, God gives you energy. I never tried to run against Toyota and Honda yet. I never tried. But sometimes when God touch you, you can have supernatural strength like Samson. You can do things supernaturally. God will give you supernatural power and strength. The hand of the Lord is upon you. And sometimes when the hand of the Lord is upon you, you can prophesy. You can speak the word out from heaven. You will be the mouthpiece of God. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 3 verse 15, "But now bring me a musician." Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. King Jehoshaphat was facing a vast army and he needed the word from God. At that time, God only spoke through prophets. So he called Elisha. And Elisha need to hear, need to have the touch of God, need to have the presence of God coming upon him to be able to prophesy. What did Elisha do? He asked for a musician. That's why the worship team is so important. I want to speak to worship team. I hope everyone is in this room who just played a while ago. The worship team need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You cannot play music by the flesh. You need to really sing and play in the Spirit to bring the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes, the hand of God comes, something gonna happen. Elisha was able to prophesy and Jehoshaphat won the battle in that time. Amen. We need the hand of God for victory. We need the hand of God. We need the presence of God. We need the touch of the Holy Spirit for direction, for victory, for word of prophecy, for wisdom, word of wisdom. Whatever we need to come into the presence of God. We need to welcome and learn how to walk in the presence of God all the days of our life. I give you some example. I have a lot of scripture talking about the hand of God. Amen. When the glory of God show up, something happened. And it happened to me one time in my life. I've seen so many examples. In Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 26, "I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute when the presence of God touch." Ezekiel, he was not able to speak. He became mute. I have one time in my life that the presence of God was on me so strong, I was not able to speak. I was standing there and I couldn't speak any word. I couldn't come out with any word because the thick presence of God was so overwhelming on my body, on my tongue, on my mouth, on my mind that I couldn't even say. In other words, God said, "Shut your mouth. I'm going to show my glory. It's not about you. I'm going to show my glory myself." Amen. How many people have experienced that when you touched by God and you couldn't speak, you kind of couldn't come out with a word? Let your hand up. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometime when you got touched by the presence of God, you may be drunk in the Holy Spirit. Had the experience of being drunk with alcohol before. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. Me too. You got drunk by alcohol before? How did you feel at that time? I got drunk one time in my life. I finished high school. I sneak out. I didn't tell Pastor Da. At that time, we were boyfriend, girlfriend. So I sneak out to my friend's house and we drank all night. And the first time and never again because I hate it. I hate that alcohol, the feeling of being drunk by alcohol. You feel like you want to throw up. And I know that the alcohol really soak into your system, into every cell, into your brain, in the brain cell, in the muscle. And you just could not walk. You cannot control your motor function. You cannot control your coordination. It's gone. You can waving around like this and fall down and speak some kind of weird thing. And you laugh. You are controlled by alcohol. You cannot control yourself. That is being drunk. And the same thing, when you are so marinated, you're so full of the Holy Spirit, His presence in this earthly body, you can get drunk in the Holy Spirit. But it's a different experience. When you get drunk by alcohol, you feel, you feel like hangover. Next morning, you don't feel good at all. But when you get drunk by the Holy Spirit, you feel so much joy, so much power, so much fun, so much so much peace in the inside of you because the Holy Spirit will bring peace and joy and good things to you. Actually, alcoholism or being drunk by alcohol is a counterfeit of the devil regarding being drunk by the Holy Spirit. If God gonna make you drunk in the Spirit, are you afraid? I hope you're not afraid. You're willing to. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 9. Concerning the prophets, my heart is broken within me. All my bones tremble. I am like a drunk man. I'm a man overcome by wine. Like a man overcome by wine. Because of the Lord, Jeremiah say, he become drunk like a drunk man because of the presence of the Lord. Look at the early church in the upper room. When the fire of God came upon the disciples, 120 disciples were in that room praying to God for the coming down of the Holy Spirit. Look at what the Bible say. In Acts chapter 2 verses 13 to 15, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Everyone said too much wine. So in the eyes of the outsider, they noticed that this believer looked like somebody who drank too much wine. They were drunk. But they were not drunk with wine, but they were drunk with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. Amen. They're not drunk. This is morning time. They were not drinking. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the presence and the glory of God. In Acts chapter 2 verse 33, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. These 120 disciples received the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of the Father in the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 28. He poured out this. What is this? The Holy Spirit, He poured out His glory, which you now see and hear. You can see that they hear what? They were laughing and speaking in tongue. What did they see? They see these people drunk with the Holy Spirit. All 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue and drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to have experience of being drunk by the Holy Spirit. It's really wonderful. Amen. In fact, I asked God one day, I want to experience everything you say in the Bible. I want to experience everything. Shaking, falling, drunk, laughter, anything. I want to experience what you say in the Bible because your word never lies to me. Amen. I got drunk a few times in my life in the Holy Spirit. The first time happened in Seattle here, when God touched me in a meeting. I was drunk for 1 hour. And then after that, I got drunk again and again by the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Dan knew very well when it happened. I was laughing and I couldn't walk, could not stand. I could not control myself because I was really drunk. My hand was heavy. I could not walk. I could not stand. Just keep falling down because being drunk. Amen. People say like this, Pastor, does the Bible say you need to be self-controlled? Why are you talking about lack of self-control? You know, when the Bible talk about self-control, it means control your sinful nature. The Bible never say we control the Holy Spirit. The Bible say we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. Even Apostle Paul say that in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Apostle Paul compare the infilling of the Holy Spirit to being drunk with wine. The Holy Spirit just take control over your life. And it's a degree of yielding. It's a degree of hunger. It's a degree of how much you want Him to just come and take control of you. I want to encourage you to just come like a child and say, God, come and just fill me up. Inject your new wine from heaven into me, into my blood, into my bloodstream, and just fill me up with your glory. And I'm willing to be changed by your glory. Amen. And I can guarantee, if you are touched by God, you will never be the same. God will come in and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and do something in your life that your life will never be the same. When you come to God, just come to God 1000%. Just say, God, you can do whatever you want. Don't have any reservation with God. Just jump in. Let God do whatever He wants. Amen. Let God change you. Don't let the old culture, don't let the old tradition, don't let the old ways dictate you anymore. Let the Word of God dictate you. The Word of God say, people can dance, people can fall prostrate, and people can get drunk. People can prophesy when they get filled with God. Amen. They can have enough supernatural strength when the hand of God come upon them. Let's seek the presence of God. Let's push yourself into the presence of God. Let God touch you. Amen. Don't worry about dignity too much. Oh, I need to kind of hold on to my dignity. I don't want to lose my face. I don't want to look like a weird guy. I want to say this. The fear of coming to be touched by God, the fear of losing face, the fear of looking weird in front of public in a meeting like this, will be the same fear that blocked you from testifying about Jesus on the bus. Will be the same fear that will block you from telling your relatives or your loved one about the love of Jesus Christ. I noticed one thing. I know a few people who are never ashamed of the presence of God. Such as, I know, you may not know them, but these are our members. Kun Toy, that came back, they already went back to Thailand. Mok, Cha, never be ashamed of the gospel. Never be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. They're willing to look like a weird lady in front of people. But these people went out and witnessed and get a lot of people saved all the time. They overcome that fear of losing their face. So they are not fearful when I go out and witness anymore. I heard that Kun Toy and Mok, who are in the Thai service, went up to many up country, and each city that they went to, they get about 40 people saved at a time. They are not ashamed of the gospel. It's so full of boldness. Now I understand why God need to put you through that. Through look like a losing dignity. Like this in a meeting and, you know, laugh and cry. Look like you're losing your face in front of public. Like, oh, look at this guy. Why he was laughing on the floor and get drunk. Because he want to break that fear. He want to break that self-consciousness that I need to be self-conscious about myself. How people look at me. How people think about me. I fear man. Fear what people think about you. God want to destroy that. So that when you go out on the street and you say, Jesus loves you, you don't care about what people think anymore. Because you're so full of boldness. If you're willing to be broken by God, God gonna use you more. Amen. You will not be ashamed of the gospel anymore. You will not think about your face anymore. That's what happened. If you want to be used of God. Amen. God is raising the army in the end time. To really be filled with His glory. Love Jesus with all their heart. And go out and testify and bring the soul into the kingdom of God. And that's why the Bible says, when the hand of the Lord was upon them, a great number believed and turned to the Lord. They're not ashamed anymore. God, it was upon them. They just bold to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I got email from Bangkok all the time with this group of people who love the touch of God, and they get touched by God all the time. When I went to Thailand, these people went on the street every week. I got the email on Monday. 43 people got saved last week. 50 people got saved. Children got saved. These people went out to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They are so bold to share the gospel. They're so bold to do unusual things that people think you're crazy. I remember when I first went to Thailand and started to lay hand on 1,000 people. A lot of people think I'm crazy. I was bold. I know this is what the right thing to do. I'm going to do it. I don't care what people think. I don't care what people criticize me. Some people criticize me that I am false teacher. But I don't care. Because I want to do the work of God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I want to see people get set free and get saved. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I think I will continue next time about when the glory of God show up, what's going to happen. So tonight we learn that when the presence of God show up, the glory of God show up. Last time we learned 2 months ago that sometimes God touch people, they lose strength in the presence of God, and they fall down. Because in this physical body, you cannot resist the glory of God. Also, the Bible says that some people voluntarily fall in the presence of God. Not only that, some people may also prophesy when the presence of God touch them. The Bible says that they may see visions and dreams and prophesy. The Bible says that some people may dance when God touch them. Dance in the Spirit. Some people may get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some people not be able to speak. They could not control their mouth anymore, their tongue anymore. They could not speak for a long time. Amen. This is holy. This is wonderful. This is of heaven. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have 3 choices. I can be carnal Christian, I can be mental Christian, or I can be spiritual Christian. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be a spiritual Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit of God. Even though I still study the Bible to change my mind and change my thinking process. But I don't want to be led by my mental capacity. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. The Word of God just renew our mind to help us to think the same way God thinks. But daily life, we are led by the Spirit of God. Amen? We are not led by this head. We're led by the Spirit on the inside of us. We want to be that kind of Christian. Led by the Spirit. And you're going to see miracles. You're going to see victory. You're going to see wonderful things because you are not led by your own mental capacity. Not led by your flesh, the sinful nature. But led by the Spirit of God. Let God fill you. Let God marinate you. Let God just fill every single cell and every single part of your life. And let Him control you now. And so that you can learn how to let Him control you out there on the street, in the workplace. In the phone, when you make phone call, God will lead you and fill you up. Amen. Don't worry about dignity. Don't let fear control you and don't let any tradition stop you from coming into the presence of God. But let God have His own way in your life. Amen. And God gonna use you powerfully. It's your choice. I make a choice to be used by God. And I make a choice to be filled with the Spirit of God. God will never force anyone. It's all our choice. Amen. Praise God. How many people one day want to see a classroom shaken, an office shaken by the power of God? People come to know the Lord. City shaken by the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And all what I say today is about souls. God wants to change you. God cannot work through you if you're not allow God to work in you first. Let me repeat one more time. You cannot be powerfully used by God through you. Let God work through you unless you allow God to work in you first. You need to let God deal with you first, break you inside, and then God can use you powerfully to do other things for Him. Amen. God wants to raise up today's Jonathan Edwards. God wants to raise up many Charles Finney today. Many great men and women of God. Amen. In the last day, are you willing to be changed by God? Let God minister to you first. And that's all about revival service. It's about allowing God to come and change you first so that you can go out and witness to people and reach out to the lost, save the lost, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, do mighty things that God called you to do. The work that He did, you shall do also. And greater the work than this, you shall do. Amen? Amen. But let God work in you, like the upper room experience. Those 120 people, allow God to work in them first. And that's why Jerusalem saw revival. Amen? Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful to the Lord that He led me to the glory of God in 1997. And God kept telling me to go, keep going back to be touched by the glory of God. After 10 years, now I see the result. When I went to Bangkok, thousands of people come. I'm going to go in September, and they expect 1,500 people come in September. And when I went to Canterbury, 300 people show up. They all got touched by God. Something happened. Then I got an email and phone call of how wonderful things happened to these people. It was so blessed to see a city shaken by the power of God. But you know what? I myself allow Him to touch me and to change me for 10 years from 1997 to now. To change me, and because I was so hungry for the presence of God. Amen. And this result will last for a long time because I'm not trying to minister to those people by my mental capacity. Making joke, making people laugh, and having a chore to change people's mind only. I want people to change in their spirit, change by God inside them. Amen? How much hunger you have in your heart. Tonight, just come to God with hunger. God, you can do whatever you want. Just deal with me today. Change me. Touch me. Fill me up. Draw near to God. And God will draw near to you. Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for the word of God that shines the light into our spiritual eyes to prepare our church here, your church, for the coming of the greater glory, the end time revival, the end time move of God, the great spiritual awakening, the move of the Holy Spirit that's going to come in all over the world. Lord, I believe that the glory of the Lord will fill this earth in the end time. Even though the Antichrist may come to do many things to threaten us. But Lord, I believe that the glory of God will be even stronger and many souls will be saved. And Father, we want to be in that army, the army in the end time, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, full of love and faith, full of patience and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, come and use this church as a part of the army of God. Lord, we are ready. We are hungry. Come and touch us, Lord. Come tonight and touch us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Whether you get lay hand on or not, I recommend you shut off everything. People around you. Shut off your tradition, your old experience. And say, today I'm going to need a new wine, new touch of God. And you keep asking God. You keep seeking. You keep drawing from God. God, touch me. Feel me more. More, Lord. Touch me, Lord. You need to ask. If you don't ask, you don't receive. You cannot just sit there and do nothing. You say, okay, if God's going to touch me, He touched me. No, no. You need to ask. You need to press in. You need to really keep drawing, keep touching His garment. Draw near to Him. Even after I lay hand, and some of you may be on the floor. On the floor, don't just hurry to get up. And you keep begging God to come and touch you more. Feel me, Lord, tonight. I will never be the same. Tonight going to be the greatest night in my life. In my Christian walk tonight, something great going to happen. Don't look at the past experience. Say, God, tonight going to be the greatest night for me. Your glory will touch me. Hungry, desperate. Want to change. You don't want to be the same. One of the keys to be used by God is to be willing to change. If you don't want to change, you will be like an old wineskin. You need to be new wineskin to get the new wine for God to use you for this generation. Amen. Father, we're hungry. We're hungry, Lord. We need you, Lord. We draw near to you. We drink the new wine from heaven. Lord, tonight pour out your Holy Spirit. Pour out your glory in this house. People who are hungry for the presence of God shall be filled. Those who feel poor in the spirit shall receive the blessing from heaven. Those who are hungry, they shall be filled, Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hungry. Draw from heaven. Draw from heaven. Don't use your brain to think too much. Don't analyze God. This is not a time of analysis. This is a time of partaking, drinking the new wine of God. When you sit at the dining table, you don't analyze what kind of food, what kind of component, soy sauce or fish sauce. You don't analyze that food. You're just hungry and you eat. You just put the spoon and eat the same thing. Hungry. Drink. Hungry. God, I'm desperate. Touch me tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,